Hello and welcome to the Walk in Love podcast. I'm TJ.
And I'm Brooke.
And today we are going to talk about how to keep the river flowing. Thank you for listening. Thank you for making us a part of your week. The Walk in Love podcast is a weekly conversation about rhythms, faith, parenting, emotions. It's a place where we sometimes laugh and we sometimes cry as we try to find language to live a joy filled life or full life. Dang it, I even got it wrong.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
And if you like your listening to line up with your living, you're in the right place.
Nice. And if you would like someone else's listening to line up with their living,
ooh,
you could tell someone about the Walk in Love podcast. You say, hey, my friends.
It's a weekly conversation.
My friends, Brooke and TJ, have a weekly conversation with me about these things. And I think you would like it. And so you should listen. Here's the link. Comp the merch. Merch is fire. Mm-hmm. So use the code Naughty Boys. We have a brand new freebie for you. It is Brooke's amazing, almost super simple, but crazy helpful weekly template. Brooke, tell the people about it.
Tell the peeps about it. So I came up with this. This is not a toot my own horn. This is just a, like, I was so overwhelmed and swirly and like panic drowning mode, you know, like a couple years ago that I was like, I have to do something to keep my brain and my thoughts like organized in a way that works for me. Yeah. And so I started making this little list on my notes app in my phone. And here we are over 2 years later. I'm still using the same system.
Still works
I
great.
Filled it out this morning. Yep. And it does keep me on track. It helps eliminate the like mental load and overwhelm of everything from who do I need to text back this week to what are we eating for dinner to what am I supposed to do today? What can wait till next week? Is laundry happening? Wah! Yeah. All the things. How much water have I drank? All of it. It gets it out of my head and into one place. And so we have it as a template for you.
Yep. And so you can get that template by going to shop.walkinlove.com. We have a category on our website that says freebies. Mm-hmm. So it's in the shop section. So technically you're checking out, but it's a free $0 item. So, and then it will email you the template that you can copy and paste to your notes app. Mm-hmm. But Brooke also sends along a video, sort of how she uses it. It's about, you know, it's like a screen share where she walks through how she uses this thing week in and week out. And, and we hope that it's super helpful for you.
Yes.
So go download it for free today. Mm-hmm. Yes. So thank you for being here. Brooke, I'm just going to get right into it.
Okay.
What's your deepest, darkest fear? No, I'm just kidding.
Do you really want to go there? I could do it.
What's your most superficial fear?
Not, you mean like unrealistic?
Yeah. Like deepest, darkest fear is like that I'm a failure and no one will ever love me.
Nobody loves me. Yeah. Whatever those things are.
Let's skip those.
No, there is a point in a kid's life where they start to be capable of realizing the difference between a rational fear and an irrational fear. Like that is a real thing to like differentiate. So you're asking about my quasi irrational fear, right?
Yeah. Or just like something you're afraid of.
Yeah.
I didn't think we were going here, but here we are, that people would be surprised by, or people would be like, oh yeah, me too.
Oh gosh.
I know your first one.
What is it?
Heights.
Oh, heights, 100%. That's not irrational, though. That's so rational.
Why don't you explain, though, one of the places that you're most afraid of heights?
No, here's the thing. It's one of the only places I encounter heights. So you need the details. 88% of us, TJ, need the details.
Oh, boy.
And yeah, that's what I've been saying for almost 15 years now. And no, you like to make fun of me because when the mall in Pennsylvania that we grew up going to.
Park City Mall.
It's a great mall. Has a food court down below. And so when you're up on the normal ground level shopping, you can look down over like the glass railing or whatever down into the food court.
You've never been close enough.
I've never seen it. Supposedly there's food down there. It makes me feel lots of things. And you love it. Like if I'm walking towards that area and I don't realize that that's exactly where I am in the hallway, but my body senses that I'm too close to that railing, it will physically throw me in the other direction, even if there's people there. I'll just crash from one side of the hallway into the other.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay, but that's so rational.
That is rational.
I think one of the funniest irrational ones I ever heard that I think about probably once a week. It's not mine.
Rent free.
What?
It lives rent-free.
In my head, it's not mine, but I think it's so funny. Okay. The girl who was like, I'm terrified to brush my hair outside because I'm afraid my hair is going to drift into a crime scene somehow and that I will be accused or blamed because they found my DNA. And I laugh about that at any time I'm outside and I'm like fixing my hair or kind of like combing through my hair with my fingers. And I like, you know, grab all the hair, like let it go. And I'm like, crime scene, DNA, there it goes. It's going to happen.
I think what makes the heights irrational is how low, like you're at a level where you could jump down and be fine and still afraid that like death is upon you.
The crazy thing is I'm actually not afraid of death. I mean, I guess I am. We all are a little bit, but like when I'm looking down over the railing, I'm not afraid I'm going to fall and die. I do not like the way it physically makes my body feel.
Yeah, it makes
feel.
Your stomach like kind of...
Like when I was on Oahu, I mean, I posted stories. I was on the, 12th floor or 17th floor or something. And it was an open railing with huge slats in between. it was not appropriate.
So the irrational fear comes with like, are you going to trip?
Am I somehow going to... Yes.
Shrink down to 12 inches.
Shrink to 12-inch brook. Shoot through the railing, regrow. It's like I had a Mario star or whatever, and I'm changing sizes. It's all swirled into.
But then
like,
you would fall to your death. So is it the death part or
no? It's the falling.
It's the falling. You don't
it's
want to.
It's literally
fall.
The falling. I don't want to fall and feel that feeling of falling. Same reason I used to not get on a roller coaster. I'm not afraid I'm going to die on a roller coaster.
Afraid of roller coasters.
I'm not scared of them. I've never been on one.
That's one of Matt's. Matt Clark's best characters is like anytime I ask him if he watches like a zombie movie.
Yeah.
He's like, well, no, but I'm not afraid of zombies. Yeah. Like, I'm just not. I'm not afraid. I just don't want to watch it.
Right.
Because I just don't want to watch it. It's not because I'm afraid of zombies or anything. I'm like, Matt, are you afraid of zombies? No.
So I do not like that feeling of falling. But not that I've ever fallen off a truly big height. Like I am rational and old enough now that if I needed to like get on the roof for something, I could do it and would be okay.
Oh. I don't fit through these windows. No problem.
I fit through these. I climb out of these windows. Wow. No problem.
Throwback.
I've already told you that I would, if I had to jump down, I'd go over the edge and I would, if I couldn't just jump straight down, which honestly I think I could and I would, it would hurt, but I'd be okay. I was going to jump to the roof of that little shed.
Nice.
Because I feel like there's...
Fall right through it.
Straight into the double stroller that's inside it that we haven't used in months. That's my plan. Yep.
I think my all-time favorite moment the heights. This is a classic, and I have to tell the story.
Okay.
Our dear friend, Kim.
Oh, this is not the story I thought you were going to tell.
What's the story you thought I was going to tell?
That movie we watched.
Oh, no. That was so real. I'm not going to tell that one. Our dear friend, Kim, Mom on Maui graduate, Kim.
graduate. I love that.
One time, we still live across the street from her, one time said, we were talking about the pool and the high dive, the Mannheim community pool.
Which still has a high dive. Well, I don't. At the time of this story, it had a high dive, which very few pools do.
Yes.
Because they're not the safest thing.
Well, and they're, like we, our society's becoming soft and kids can't handle jumping off from heights, so. There's a lesson in there. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Kim mentioned, I'll go off the high dive if you do, Brooke. And you said, okay, which was probably a big no-no. Like you regret saying that because Kim did it.
Here's the thing. I actually thought I would be okay because I have done that before.
Okay.
I have gone, if it was my first time ever, I don't think I would have said that in a challenging way.
Yeah.
But I have gone off that high dive in like, I don't know, middle school, high school, whenever I would have been there and gone off of it. I mean, I didn't love it, but I did it and I've done it more than once. So I thought I've done this before just to force Kim to do it. I'm going to say that I'll do it too, which I meant when I said
it. And so Kim climbs right up, walks to the edge, jumps off. No problem.
I climb up with full confidence of walking to the edge and my body stops moving.
I think you spent eight minutes.
Mm-hmm. Walking back and forth. And then I'm laughing at myself because I literally couldn't believe I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like my mental was like, you're fine. You can swim. It's not that far. Like I was rattling off all the very rational things And my body was like, mm-mm.
And nope. Yeah. And so, but you did.
I did go.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
One of my most treasured moments.
Spun around, hung from my arms, and let go. I'm kidding. I did not. Oh, I don't have the arm strength for that.
Oh. Yeah, I can jump on mine. Oh, man.
What's yours?
Well, what's, you said that one's rational. What's irrational?
Like, I don't know, you know, like a shark in your bathtub, like one of those things where you're like, this is literally impossible, but is it?
Is it?
Could it fit through and get into this pool somehow? Those kinds of things.
I don't know if I have, like, heights make me a little queasy, but mm-hmm.
You jump off the waterfall.
Yeah. So I don't know if I have one. My fears are also emotionally.
So real.
I don't know. Maybe living under a bridge. That's pretty irrational.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
The hesitation. Thanks.
I had to process like that. You actually believe in some scenario where we have lost all of our money, that apparently everybody in our family also abandons us, and that our only choice is to live under a bridge.
Yeah. So that sounds pretty irrational.
I would literally build us a house from found materials before that would happen. You better believe I'm capable of that.
Find all that girl's hair and build a whole wall.
Got it. Yep. I'm going to make some bricks out of that.
I can definitely get irrationally fearful in the water, in the ocean. Like,
it's a mental, like, that's, which is crazy because the water's so clear here.
Yeah. So,
and so you'd think I'd be more scared in like a lake or something, which in some senses I am because I can't see, but I also know what's in a lake and what's not in a lake. And so then there's some of that.
Crocodiles are in a lake.
They can be. Do you see that? Did you see the same video are we about to talk about?
Okay, go ahead. Show me
the same video
that showed the animals.
No, tell me about that.
Okay. So there's this video that showed like how many victims each animal has per year.
Like in the US?
In the world.
In the world. Wow.
Sharks had 4.
Yeah. Like, it's so rare that they actually kill you.
Yeah. And then it was like,
and they don't mean to.
And it went, and it was going up, and like, it's like, I don't remember all about like hippos at 50.
Hippos are so violent.
Lions had 100.
Ooh.
That was scary.
Thankfully, there's none here.
No lions here. And then it kept going like there was like a lot of different bugs in there. Mm. But then mosquitoes, 1 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it was deaths. I think it was just victims. Because I don't think mosquitoes kill a million people a year.
Yeah, they do. From the result, like, you know, from science. I believe in science.
So, yeah.
No, I was talking about there's two, speaking of alligators or crocodiles, two reels that I've seen. One has been going around for a while about all the gators in Florida. Did you see them that are freezing themselves in the rivers?
I have seen those.
And
videos.
Only their little nostrils stick out. Have you seen the picture? Uh-huh. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
That's like when all the iguanas get so cold that they all fall out of the trees and land on the sidewalk. And there's just iguanas everywhere in Florida because it's too cold and they can't stay in the tree anymore. And they're like,
I'm falling, I'm falling, I'm falling, I'm falling. I'm falling.
No, I saw one of this person like, they were like snorkeling a freshwater river. It looked big and deep and beautiful. Okay. And they're filming and it flips the camera around. Like it turns around and you see their flippers, like their fins swimming, and a crocodile is getting in the water to follow them. And I was like,
unsubscribe, unsubscribe. There it is. There. New fear unlocked. That's crazy.
Last night at bedtime, you know how kids have a million questions all the time.
Yeah.
But at bedtime, here's the thing. They're probably actually not different questions at bedtime. It's just that I'm in a different headspace at bedtime.
No, I think they have more at bedtime.
Okay. Because last night's was lots of questions about, one, how does a cucumber become a pickle, or how does a pickle become a cucumber?
Okay. Wait, stop right there. No. Wait,
it was also about freshwater and saltwater and all the things about gators and alligators.
I saw a reel of a girl that's like, you know how like we like pickle eggs and pickle, what's another thing we pickle?
You can kind of pickle any vegetable or.
Why doesn't anybody ever pickle a cucumber?
She's joking.
No.
No, she's freaking joking. Mm-mm.
And so like.
Is that the girl brushing her hair outside?
It was like it was like a duet or whatever they're called.
What is that called? Like a mix or.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever. We're not Gen Z, so we don't know.
called when you, a remix.
Remix or a duet. I think it's a splice.
A duet.
A ticky-tocky. It's when you, that's the talk part of tick. So she did a tick.
She did a tick. They did
and
a
then
talk.
Someone did a talk.
TikTok.
And he like it. He talked to him, and it was like, should we tell her? Does he even want to tell her, or should I tell her? Should we tell her? It's like,
yeah. So anyway, I was thinking about it because of the Gators thing, and I was explaining salt water and fresh water and how animals
probably to like scientific accuracy.
Yes, 100%. How certain animals need to live and certain other ones. So you're telling me if I took a this and put it into that, it would die. I'm like, yeah, I think so. Pretty confident. Maybe not immediately, but a slow, agonizing, saltless death. Yes, I think it would get there. I literally shut the door last night and said, we can talk about pickles in the morning. Click. Because I was like, I'm done. I can't anymore. Oh, did we? We did.
It's so real. Mm-hmm. It's so real. I would love to see like a graph, like a, a chart of like questions per minute.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And like, I think it does peak at bedtime. Because I think they also know that like, oh, I have my parents' full attention.
Yeah.
There's part of that. Like there's
this is
a
my
really,
last chance before.
There's like a real sweetness to it where they're like, I might never ask, be able to ask them a question again. They're leaving the room. Who knows where they go?
I have been trying to sit a little longer and just, you know, let them process, ask questions.
Here's a game changer. Oh, should I do that?
You got a button for it?
I do. Yeah.
Babe.
Let me see.
Oh, yeah. Just TikTok.
Game changers. Changes to the game such that the game can never be played the same way again.
If you want a softer heart at bedtime, start putting your kids to bed earlier. Boom.
Yeah, it really does.
Actual game changer. Because one, even if it takes maximum, the most amount of time, you're still done earlier than you originally were.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so just start earlier. Kids don't know what time it is. They don't know anything. I don't know where pickles come from. Neither does that woman. So game changer. Anyways, last week we had talked about sort of sinkholes to fountains, correct?
Yeah.
And this week, and I mentioned, next week we're going to talk about some ways to keep the river flowing.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking.
Spring up a well in my soul. Do you know not on that one? Spring up a well. And make me whole.
Spring up a well.
Spring up a well. Something be.
Okay.
La 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 la.
So
you sing that.
So you sing that. First of all, you start every day with that as your alarm. So just cut that audio clip out of the podcast. Save it as an audio. I don't know how to set a custom alarm. So you go to Google, click, 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 and then figure out how to save a custom sound as an alarm. Cut that audio clip out.
Mm-hmm.
That's your morning alarm. Boom. Instantly the rivers are flowing.
The thought of someone actually doing
waking
that
up here
makes me want to crawl into a hole. Like just like a real, somebody really does it. And their poor spouse. Who the frick?
And then they meet you one day. They're like
you
your
sound
voice
familiar.
Sounds familiar. Where do I know you from? It's being anywho. So we thought we would share some ways to do that. And so before we get into those ways, I want to have sort of like a disclaimer that like reading your Bible, going to church, worshiping the Lord, being a part of a community that talks about Jesus.
Yeah.
All of those are sort of the baseline of keeping the river flowing. And so I don't want this to be like, oh yeah, quiet time and you know, all this kind of stuff. Like, you know, I'm not downplaying any of those things.
No, not at all.
But I feel like if you're listening to this podcast and you've been listening long enough, I'm assuming that those practices are in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if
I would also add like emotional health and communication.
Yes.
To that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's rooted in all those other things, but.
And I think that there's a unlimited amount of ways to keep the river flowing. I think that God can work in all sorts of ways. And
I also think they can change based on your season.
Based on their season and all this stuff. So I want to just kind of start with that baseline.
Yeah.
And then go from there in terms of like some other maybe less ways that you might not think about mm-hmm. or ways that you may struggle with. And maybe this is sort of just like a punch in the arm or like a kick in the pants to just sort of like, hey, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that. And so the first one, which we obviously talk about all the time, but I think it is so valuable and it is so precious and it is a way to connect to the creator of the earth because he gave us that technology. Mm. It is living rhythmically by taking a Sabbath every 7 days.
Yeah.
I think that from personal experience, from our family's lives, ourselves individually, and friends and family who have done this as well, really well, mm-hmm. like it is actually a game changer. It will keep you refreshed and grounded in the Lord in such a practical, tactical way.
Yes.
That keeps on giving. It's mm-hmm. like, it's not like once, you know, I think a lot of people take one Sabbath and they're like, oh, that was cool. Like the next weekend we have all this stuff. So I'm going to stop. Like, but as you practice it, and again, it is a practice, just like your quiet time is a practice, just like prayer is a practice, just like worship is a practice. As you practice it over and over again, I think they have a compounding effect on yes. themselves. Yeah. And so being 4 years in or 3 years in or whatever, I think four now, it is like they become so much more precious and valuable and so much more like life-giving on a spiritual, soulful level.
Yeah.
And less of just like, oh man, I'm really glad we rested today.
Yes.
There is always that. There's always this sort of like, man, it is good to rest. But there's also this like, it, you know, there's this like intimacy that exists on those restful days, even just by default, like it just happens. And I can't fully explain it other than like, it is worth it, which is why we talk about it all the time. We have a course about it. We talk about it in both courses, but just so, so good. So Sabbath is just a way to connect to the Lord in a really intimate, magical,
I know. Saying
repeating
that it's,
way.
Saying it's in such a practical way almost makes it sound like it's not going to go deep, right? That's just going to be in the shallows.
Right.
But I don't think that's true. No. I think there can be a lot of super practical, tactical, what does that look like type things that get you all, that are not, they don't, that doesn't mean it's in the shallows. Just because it's daily or something like that doesn't mean that it lives there. It might feel like it starts there when you get your first practice, like, okay, we're hoping to get to some midlands.
And
like,
I would really encourage those of you who, because I'm going to do this Friday night. Those of you that do practice Sabbath right now is like, try to make it a Sabbath habit to turn off your phone.
Like, that actually leads into the next one.
Being on that retreat, 2 weeks ago, like, so much of the magic that happened. I mean, not all, obviously it was incredible teaching and worship, all this kind of stuff, but like we had solitude on the ranch for an hour and a half and we didn't have our phones. And so like, there's an element of just like, man, that is powerful to just like not have that as an option.
Yeah.
Even if like, you know, cause all my apps are blocked on Sabbath, but there's still sort of this like muscle memory that's like, oh, I should pick that thing up and touch
it. Also the constant, interruptions.
Yeah.
The constant, like, I mean, forget what that quote or statistic was about, like, our brains were not made to fire off in so many different directions about so many different topics so quickly.
Yeah.
And that's what it does. We see, you know, somebody getting chased by a crocodile, and then we see something about pickles, and then we see something about a dog, and then we see something about politics. Like, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And like, living that way and having our
person
brains
falling down the stairs, person falling down the stairs, person falling down the stairs.
Finally, the algorithm gets me. Lock it in, baby. You know, but like, we're not meant to do that. And so I do believe that we end up feeling scattered and blah in other areas of life because we have that constant interruption. So I feel like it, that kind of leads into, I mean, you mentioned solitude, but I was even thinking more silence.
Yes.
I think that silence, both in a literal sense as a practice.
Yeah.
Literally going somewhere quiet, or you can be in your house. I know people who have like prayer closets and rooms and things designated to like silence. And then I would add silence and prayer. I think for me that they come, they piggyback very naturally because if I'm totally silent and I'm kind of listening and sitting in that kind of space, then I just naturally start praying.
Yeah.
Like, so I think there's a literal silence to pursue. And then I also think there's the version, which you were just talking about, of like the technology silence.
Yeah.
Turning it, because if you, technology is so loud, both either literally screens, audio, TV, yep. like it can be on and you know, in your headphones or whatever, but then it's so loud mentally.
Yes.
Like, which
I think that's actually louder. Mentally
100% that's louder. But I'm like, sometimes it is yeah. literally just on.
Yeah.
Like it's a real thing, like music constantly playing, things like technology constantly making yeah. noise. But most of that noise is.
I think the visual noise, like.
Yes.
The visual noise is more more taxing on yes. your mental just
yeah.
well-being than having music on.
Yeah.
You know, like that type of thing.
Yes, but I'm talking about both. Yeah. Like the literal silence, yep. which would be something like yep. music, and then also the technology silence of not having all those interruptions and all those distractions and all those thoughts, good or bad, ping-ponging yep. in every other direction. It makes it very hard to be aware of the river that is flowing
yeah.
or the river you want to have flowing yeah. or whatever.
Yeah. And I would say this to some people, because I think, obviously silence and stillness and that those types of things are harder for some than they are for others. Mm-hmm. They're definitely harder for me than they are for Brooke. And so something that helps me in silence is a little bit of movement. So like yes. if I go on a walk, like if I walk the beach or if I just walk around the loop, you know, no headphones in, no phone, mm-hmm. like that type of thing. Like that is still very valuable time for like Eric Little, the famous, you know, Chariots of Fire runner, you know, he was like, I feel the Lord when I run or something like that. He's got yeah. some crazy quote like that, which I'm just like, oh, gross. I mean, great for you. I love that for you. I love that for you. I don't love it for me, mm-hmm. but I do like when we were doing the Silent Ranch, I would sit for a little bit, kind of write some thoughts down.
Oh yes. I don't think silence means stillness.
Yeah. And then I would get up and I would walk, up yeah. and down, this one area. And like, that was super like still communing with the Lord, still mm-hmm. praying, still talking, to him. But I think sometimes we, when we picture sort of this silence, it's like, we're in a room with like a feather quill pen and it's this wooden desk. And
No.
And so I would just like encourage you to find the silence that allows you to like feel the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And for some of you, that's like, yeah, totally. It's with my coffee in this specific chair or yeah. it's sitting outside
yeah.
or, but for some of us, it might be like, it's literally just like a walk.
A lot of times for me, it's pretty rare because I don't schedule my life this way as much as I used to. For me, it would be when I would be alone in the house cleaning in silence.
Yeah.
Like I would clean, you'd be yeah. out doing something and I'd be like, I'm going to, you know, really batch clean a few things right now. And I would intentionally choose not to put on a book or headphones yeah. or music.
Which aren't bad things.
No, but it's just like, but again, we're talking about ways to keep the river flowing. And I don't think the river just flows on its own.
No.
I think it's just full of intentionality yeah. and thought and like, how do I do that? What does that look like? What does that look like right now? You know, how do I start
that,
this?
Yeah. I would say that the river flows on its own at a very moderate level, you know, like, there's some grace in yes. sort of the Spirit of God moving yes. in our lives.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But I do think that like what we're talking about last night is like not the bare minimum. Mm. We don't want the bare minimum of the Spirit of God moving in our lives. We don't want the bare minimum of a relationship with Jesus. We want it to be bursting forth in all things. And so these are ways that I think that really helps that kind of come to life
yeah.
in good seasons or in bad. Because that's the great thing. That's the hard thing about the Christian life, but it's also the great thing is like we're not fair weather fans. We don't just serve Jesus when our team wins. Mm. We serve him all the time in all things. Mm-hmm. And so we want to stay connected with him in all times through all things. Mm-hmm. And it's funny as humans, sometimes it's easier in the hard times because then we fall back on these things.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're like, oh man, God is really moving and speaking to me. And it's like, well, because we're in a bare season and we need it. Mm-hmm. And I actually think it's harder to keep the river flowing when like you're making all the money you need. You know, like life is great. Like everything's great, you know, whatever.
When I think about some of my most like Bible reading, crying out,
yeah,
feeling, you know, Jesus nearby and answers and all the things, like they were in some of the hardest moments of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love the bare minimum. I love your concept of like, we're not here
Yeah.
For the bare minimum relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, and just like we're not here. Like I'm not here for the bare minimum relationship with you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cause it would have stayed the same the day we got married from there until now. And it definitely hasn't.
Yeah.
And it's gotten way better.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So same thing with all of our relationships. Mm-hmm. I think piggybacking off of silence, another great one is solitude, which this is another one I struggle with. And again, that retreat was just sort of another refresher of like, this is actually really good for me.
I can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously those can go hand in hand. Like, you know, it's like that scene in The Office where he's like, take a 10, stand up from your computer every 10, sit for about 10 minutes every 30, every hour.
Talking about all the things that you're supposed to do
Michael's
in an hour.
And like, that's 30 minutes every hour.
He's like, do them all at the same time. Yeah.
And so, yeah, silence and solitude, those are two things that can go hand in hand and can be very, very beneficial and challenging for some of us. Some of you introverts, like, will be like, oh, that's super easy. I can do that really easily. But it gets harder as you have more kids and you have a spouse and those things kind of just dominate life a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so to be on the same page, to have conversations with your spouse about this thing, that's like, hey, I want to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I need an hour a week or 90 minutes a week or half an hour, two times a week to just go on a walk by myself, to find a place to sit down. And I'm just going to like spend time with the Lord.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that any spouse out there is going to say no to that. And if they do, I think you have to have some other conversations that are probably going to be a lot harder, but like, let's have open communication about this. Like when I came back from the retreat, I had like a few ideas written down in the back of my journal, some of which didn't make any sense.
It was like almost when you write down things like in the middle
of
the night.
I don't know that one.
I don't know what that means.
But one of them was like, I need to incorporate this in my life and I can incorporate it on Sabbath. Mm-hmm. I can have a little bit of solitude in which I'm silent. Mm-hmm. And I think that will fit nicely into the rhythm that we live by.
Yeah.
Anything to add on solitude?
No, I don't think so.
I was going to
say that I feel like the Sabbath, the silence and the solitude we have talked about for years.
Yeah.
You know, and again, we're still learning more and figuring out more and incorporating more and like all the things. I think the one thing that it's like, we do talk about it a lot in a sense, but I think something that really does help keep that river flowing. So it's to the point of that visual image we were talking about of that being so full and so robust that it's literally, it's like a geyser, like it has to come out and overflow, into this, like, you know, it's the fruit, right? Like I think it is celebration and fun. Like,
yes.
And
amen.
Because all those three things, the Sabbath, the silence and solitude, when you hear them just rattled off, they all sound so somber.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they're not a little bit, but you know, I think that's what freaks people out. They're like, oh,
well, I don't think Sabbath sounds somber at all, but that's because of our context
on it. I think the average person is like, okay, so the only way to really keep the river flowing is to be a monk. Basically. Yeah. And I'm like, that could not be, if you want to go be a monk, go be a monk. I'm not dissing monks. Yeah.
Brooke loves monks.
I love the monks. But that is not at all.
Yeah.
It's almost the furthest thing from what we actually believe and practice in terms of this kind of thing.
Yeah. At the retreat, John Tyson asked, what sort of mood do you think God is in? And I think a lot of us, think God is in a somber mood all the time. Mm-hmm. And we serve a somber God and we serve a joyless God, which if you look through scripture is not true. And so I think sometimes it's our, like we reflect the God that we serve. And so if our Christian faith and Christian walk and walk with Jesus is we're walking behind this like monk humming tunes, like we start to think, oh, that's the only way that we can serve him. And I think that God is the most joyful being in all of the universe. And our lives should reflect that joy. We should be the most joyful beings in all the universe.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this before and I'll never stop talking about it. Is like, I heard this Francis Chan sermon one time where he talked about how he loves it when he finds older people, elderly people who are just the happiest people on planet Earth that follow Jesus, because he feels like they actually got it. They understood the assignment that like connection to Jesus through the Holy Spirit is the start to live the most joy-filled life available. Mm-hmm. And it only gets better. Mm-hmm. Like you only get more into like, just like our marriage, it's only gotten better since we said, I do.
Yeah.
Like there's more intimacy, there's more joy, mm-hmm. there's more connection. Like I want that with Christ. Mm-hmm. And so these are ways that we can do that. But I think if we do that thinking that God is always this somber, like low key monk being, we will have a hard time experiencing that like exuberant joy.
Yeah.
One thing I wrote down here, which John Tyson said, is that if God is not a joyful God, then the pursuit of joy will take you away from him.
Mm.
And that was like, some of our guys in the room was like, yeah. You know? And so, you know, I think.
Say that one more time.
If God is not a joyful God, then the pursuit of joy will take you away from him.
Yeah. Because you'll go find it elsewhere if you truly believe that about him. Is that what you're saying?
No. Like if we're pursuing joy, we should be drawing closer to joy.
Yeah.
And if we're like, if we're pursuing joy and it's somehow pulling us away from God, then we're not really pursuing joy.
Mm.
Like, and that God is not, like God is joyful.
Yeah.
You know, like when I picture Jesus, when we go through those sort of like guided prayers of like, picture Jesus, he's sitting, what does he look like? How's he looking at you? Like, to me, he is smiling. He is on the verge of like it. He is the equivalent of me walking in from the gym and Daisy sprinting to me, ready to give me a hug. Like that's how I believe Jesus looks at us with that much love and adoration. Obviously he wants us to live a good life. He doesn't want us to sin. Like there are some serious moments to him. I'm not just like,
you're not painting him.
I'm
as
not
like
painting
a
him
all
as
the time.
The, you know, character joy in Inside Out. Like,
right.
He has all the emotions, but when I picture him, you know, embracing you or me or any believer, it is with a smile and just like, almost like
a lot of warmth,
warmth, emotions, like tears of joy, those types of things.
Yeah.
And so if we don't have that image, or if that image has been skewed by religiosity or maybe some of our traditions that are outside of the Bible.
Or honestly, and I say this not thinking of either of our parents, but like your own father.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
then
that famous quote that says that like, no one loses faith in God without first losing faith in their father.
Yeah. And so
they're so deeply connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we don't have that correct image or an image of joy, like fun will be hard to come by in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if fun is hard to come by, then joy is hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think like, a way to keep the river flowing is fun.
Yeah.
It's like literal having
fun. It's not pointless. It's not separate.
You know, like you think of joy-filled people, you're probably going to think of your kids. Like you know, even in their, like even amidst the like worst tantrum, it takes about 2.5 seconds to get out of that and start like screaming and laughing and giggling. And you're just like, how did you do that?
I have one
bad moment and I think about it for 2 weeks.
Ooh, yeah.
And so. Yeah. To recover fast and to find the fun and the joy in life. And I'm not talking about like, because I don't think sin is fun or sin is joyful.
Mm.
And so if you're kind of putting those two together, like they're not. Like sin is evil and it is darkness and it is the absence of joy. I think we have been lied to culturally that pleasure is fun and pleasure is joy. But
Yeah, they're very intertwined.
And there are pleasurable things that are joyful, but I think those things aren't full of sin.
Right.
You know, like sexual pleasure within marriage is joyful because of intimacy and the covenant and all those things.
Yeah.
Sexual pleasure outside of marriage is
just
sin.
Pleasure.
And it's just pleasure and it's hedonism. It's short-term pleasure followed by long periods of regret.
Yeah.
And we do not want to live that way. And so, you know, obviously Sabbath is super important. Obviously there's a lot of things that will keep the river flowing, but we wanted to highlight a few that maybe you don't necessarily always think about. Obviously read your Bible, spend time with Jesus, you know, worship the Lord in community, in fellowship, listen to people teach the Bible. All those things will keep the river flowing. And we have access to those in ways that historically people have never had access to, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
But then I think other ways that we may not think about are like silence and solitude, which we can do at the same time. which will be a challenge for some of us. Mm-hmm. I think they can be linked to Sabbath, but they don't necessarily have to be.
Yeah.
I think Sabbath, which I love how Jeremy calls it, is like, it's a day, it's once a week to taste and see the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And to me, that sounds like a fun day. That sounds like a joy-filled day. That sounds a day where we eat, as John Tyson would say, we eat fatty meats, you know, we drink good wine, you know, and I think Sabbath should be a reflection of the joyful God that we serve. If it's not, maybe it's time to like recalibrate to that.
Yeah.
And then I think the last one is just like, let's have fun as believers. Let's have fun with our spouses. Let's have fun with our kids. Let's have fun in life.
With yourself.
With yourself. Yeah. Like,
find that's the hardest
thing
for me.
Yeah. Find things that you enjoy. And I guarantee, it's a money back guarantee that.
Backed by Naughty Boys.
10 out of 10, no notes. That you will, the river of life will be flowing more steadily through you if you have more fun.
Mm. Yeah.
And I know that to be true. Like when I feel out of it, when I start to feel depressed or frustrated or anxious or, you know, all the things, you know, bridge dwelling. I can go to a certain point, like a certain scenario that has sort of caused that trickle, but that scenario then also takes the fun out of my life and I stop having fun. I stop feeling that joy in my daily life, pretty quickly. So,
yeah. It's good. Have more fun.
Have more fun.
Make a shirt that says that. I like it.
Anything else to add to that?
I don't think so. I think that's so good and really like challenging, but practical and yeah.
Yeah, I think I want to read this verse real quick.
So oh, okay. You're looking for a verse.
Keep talking.
Oh boy. You used to have me do that all the time and I would instantly panic. I feel a little less panicked now, but also still don't have anything to say.
Okay, hold on. I almost got it. You're doing great, babe.
I'm doing great. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. We're doing it.
Okay. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Mm-hmm. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. And so let our lives be so flowing with the river of life that we rejoice with joy, that our whole lives are an expression of rejoicing with joy so that it gives glory to God. And if we did that well, I mean, I believe fully that the 11 disciples did that super well.
Mm.
And it's why Christianity is a massive movement still that we still follow today.
Mm-hmm.
And so may we be a reflection of that by tapping into some of these things. And so that we also don't become old and curmudgeon, in our later life, that we actually become more and more joy filled as we follow Jesus longer and longer.
Yeah. The river only gets bigger and wider and deeper and there's more than one fountain now.
Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for making us a part of your week. Okay. I love you. Bye. We have a brand new freebie for you. It is Brooke's amazing, almost super simple, but crazy helpful weekly template. Brooke, tell the people about it.
Tell the peeps about it. So I came up with this. This is not a toot my own horn. This is just I was so overwhelmed and swirly and like panic drowning mode, you know, a couple years ago that I was like, I have to do something to keep my brain and my thoughts like organized in a way that works for me.
Yeah.
And so I started making this little list on my notes app in my phone. And here we are over 2 years later. I'm still using the same system.
Still works
I
great.
Filled it out this morning and it does keep me on track. It helps eliminate the like mental load and overwhelm of everything from who do I need to text back this week to what are we eating for dinner to what am I supposed to do today? What can wait till next week? Is laundry happening? All the things. How much water have I drank? All of it. It gets it out of my head and into one place. And so we have it as a template for you.
Yep. And so you can get that template by going to shop.walkandlove.com. We have a category on our website that says freebies. Mm-hmm. So it's in the shop section. So technically you're checking out, but it's a free $0 item. So, and then it will email you the template that you can copy and paste to your notes app. Mm-hmm. But Brooke also sends along a video, sort of how she uses it. It's about, you know, it's like a screen share where she walks through how she uses this thing week in and week out. And, mm-hmm. and we hope that it's super helpful for you.
Yes.
So go download it for free today.
Mm-hmm.